Welcome in, everyone, to this Bastard Series Prediction Show. The Red Sox just wrapped up a four-game set with the Cleveland Guardians, dropping 3 out of 4. They now head to Pittsburgh to take on the surprising Pittsburgh Pirates for 3 games this weekend. I'm your host, Jason Kelly. I'm here with Jeremy Schilling and Terry Cushman. Let's get right into it, guys. Game 1, Friday night at 6:40, Brian Bello going up against Quinn Priester. Terry, who do you like in game 1?
I've never heard of Quinn Priester before. Not going to pretend to be an expert there. To me, I just want to see a continuation of what Bello did in innings 4, 5, and 6. A lot more efficient, commanding better. This Pirates team has gotten off to a good start. They did lose 3 in a row, basically got swept in their last series. But I'm gonna go with Bello here, and hopefully, you know, it's a low scoring game. But I don't really have a feel for this series based on the way we've been playing with the lack of momentum offensively, but I'm going to give the edge to the Red Sox.
Jeremy.
Yeah. So the problem for me is I don't watch a lot of Pittsburgh Pirates baseball. Like, I follow the rest of the league. So I don't know. I looked up Priester in 23. He had a 7.71 ERA in limited innings. You also don't know if the Red Sox are going to get 3 hit. I just read an article that Devers is not expected to go on to the DL. You're not going to get O'Neill back for this series. Sometimes when you're struggling, it's almost good to get away. And maybe the change of scenery and getting away from Fenway Park gets them back where they were on the West Coast, and they hit just a little bit. Also, Bello is technically your ace. So this is a game you should win. You just don't know what you're going to get from the offense, but I think you're going to win game one. And I think a game getting away from Fenway Park, I think, hopefully resets their mindset a little bit. So I'm going to take the Sox in game one.
Yeah, this one's a hard one to pick because Quinn Priester, he came up late last season, only made 8 starts, and he got torched. You know, you mentioned it. He had an ERA over 7. This guy's one of their top pitching prospects, so I think they're expecting better. He's down in AAA this year. He's been okay. ERA close to 4, so it looks like he's kind of, you know, stabilizing a little bit. But this is his first start, 2024, so really don't know much about him. I don't think the Red Sox will have a ton to go off of with him. And their offense is kind of sputtering right now. So I always worry about the Red Sox when they're facing a guy that they're not familiar with, especially when they have to go on the road to do it. Bello is technically your ace, but he's not your best pitcher right now. So I just feel like even though his Pirates lineup is, it's okay. I mean, they do have famed Red Sox killer Rowdy Tellez playing first base, so you know he's going to go deep at least twice, maybe 3 times. He might just homer in all 3 games. But they've got some young guys who, you know, who have some pop. They haven't quite, you know, taken off just yet, but O'Neill Cruz is back. He's healthy. He can hit bombs. Henry Davis, you know, one of their top prospects, former first round pick, he's up there now. So their offense can kind of string together some hits. They kind of remind me actually of the Guardians offense a lot, which shouldn't have given you as many problems as they did, but they did. So I'm actually going to take the Pirates in game one. I just think Priester's going to surprise them a bit, and I just don't trust the offense right now. And who knows, like, yeah, Yoshida will be back in there, but he might still be exhausted from his 2 days off. You're probably not going to get Raffy back in there. Again, it's just going to be Jaron Duran and Tristan Casas trying to carry the whole offense. And I just think the bottom half of the lineup's not going to get enough done. So,
Jason, if you were a top prospect and you had a really rough start to your career as a September call-up last year, what's the lineup you'd want to face to get your career going back on the right path?
The Red Sox lineup right now.
I mean, right?
Yep.
So this is more of – and here's the problem. I've been betting the first 5. I know you're a gambler. I've been betting the first 5 more than I've been betting the game because you just don't know what you're going to get from the bullpen and late offense, which is almost nothing. This is a game that if you had to put the bet in right now, I'd go heavy on the front five and leave the game alone. I wouldn't bet the full game. So for me, it's taking Bayo, building on his last start more than anything else.
It's fair. Yeah. I just think the way their lineup is right now, it's just not going to be enough. And again, whenever they face a guy they've never seen before, this team struggles. So I will take the Pirates in game one. Game two, Saturday afternoon, 4:05 start. Cutter Crawford going up against Mitch Keller. Terry, who do you like in game two?
I like the Red Sox in this one just because Crawford's been one of your more consistent guys outside of Hauk. And looking at this Pittsburgh lineup, I'm surprised they're as good as they are because they're bottom three or four in home runs, and Crawford isn't a guy that gives up a ton of dingers. They're only 15th in average, and they're fourth in MLB in strikeouts. Any idea who's number one in strikeouts?
It's the Red Sox.
It's the Red Sox. It's pretty close at the top. We got 202 strikeouts. Dodgers, surprisingly, number two right behind us at 198, tied with the Mariners. But
we've struck out 200 times in 10 games.
202. Well, in 20 games, but yeah.
I'm in 20 games?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
202.
That is an abomination. Wow.
And the team collectively is hitting 224 with a 298 on base. This is the Red Sox. So
the strikeout numbers are so alarming because there's so many plays you don't require the other team to make.
Yeah, you know, maybe the errors could be the difference because, I mean, the data here is suggesting a bunch of low-scoring games. So this could be another series where the errors really screw you. And Mitch Keller is essentially their ace. He had somewhat of a breakout year last year. He did end the season with an ERA over 4. But in September, between two starts, he gave up 15 earned runs. So that kind of elevated that a little bit, but he did have a pretty good year going into September, so he could certainly be a guy that gives us some fits, but it's hard to go against Crawford, so I'm going to give the Red Sox the slight edge also in game two.
So Keller, 4.5 ERA, but he's 2-1. Crawford's been really good, and Hauk had that one start that wasn't. He's given you a chance to win every single time he's pitched. Jason, for us gamblers out there, this is again is a front five, first five bet for me. Heavy, don't bet the game, bet the first five innings. Crawford's been so good. I got to go Red Sox, although if I'm putting my money on it, like I said, I'm betting them to win the first five innings.
Yeah, this is another tough one because Mitch Keller is their ace. You know, he's the guy they gave the contract to, but I just love the way Crawford's pitching right now. And the Red Sox have faced Mitch Keller twice, and he's got a 5 ERA against them. So this is a guy they've seen. They're familiar with his stuff. Now, there may be some guys in this lineup that haven't seen him, but at least they've got some data on Mitch Keller, which makes me feel a little bit better. So I think they'll do enough to score against him. I think Cutter Crawford will continue to do what he's been doing. He should get a lot of swings and misses against this lineup, which is kind of where he excels. So I'm taking the Red Sox in game two, in a low-scoring game, but I'll take them in game two.
0.8 whip. That's insane. It's not sustainable, obviously, but that's insane that he's giving up less than a runner on base per inning. And what does that mean? It means he's throwing strikes. He's staying out of trouble, lower leverage innings, getting the offense back in the batter's box, giving him a chance to win. He's been fantastic. I'm really excited to see him pitch on Saturday night.
It's the walks. I'm trying to get his stats up. He just doesn't walk anyone. Zero walks.
0.8 whip is insane. And he's made 4 starts. This will be his 5th start. Right? So, I mean, it's not like he's having a good week. You know, he's putting it together here. The only thing I'd like to say is can you get us six or seven innings and take some stress off the bullpen? If I had, and it's not a criticism, it's more of a request. Because we're going to have an issue on Sunday afternoon at 1:05. So
he's actually walked eight people. And one of the things about Crawford that I think makes him so effective, he's got that funky delivery. And with that,
he hides the ball.
He does.
Hides the ball really well. So you don't see it as a hitter. It's very challenging because you would prefer to track the ball from outside the glove through the windup and into the slot for the particular pitcher. With Crawford, you really have to anticipate the arm slot and just look for the ball late. And it's in a significant advantage from a pitching perspective where hitters, you know, don't get to track the ball. It really does matter.
I just don't know how he generates the velocity with that arm slot. That's crazy.
Yeah, he throws it like he's a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, quarterbacks need to get rid of the ball immediately, so their release is timed, and usually it's from the ear. He hitches and throws from the ear. It almost looks like he should have a shoulder problem, but he's been healthy for the most part, I believe, throughout his career, at least with as far as arm's concerned. But it's funky. But you know, a lot of pitchers try to do that, hide the ball behind their leg and other things, and it messes with their timing and getting to their arm slot on time. He's able to do it, and I think it's a factor. So that's a really good point.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned the bullpen. Hopefully they'll be safe because Sunday, game three, 1:35 start. We're going up against old friend Martin Perez, and the Red Sox right now do not have a listed starter, so we're assuming that's going to be a opener bullpen game. You might see more of Cooper Criswell. They might do the Bernardino-Criswell combination again, something like that. So, Terry, who do you like in game three?
I'm going to take Martin Perez in game three. He's off to a good start, 2.25 earned run average. I don't really like the bullpen situation here because who do you trust? Who do you trust outside of Bernardino? If maybe Winkowski is fortunate enough to come in, let's say in the seventh or eighth inning, you know, a little less pressure, maybe you can get a couple of innings of bulk out of him. But I just don't like the way it sets up. You're probably not going to have Devers at all. And Perez being a lefty, I just think that's going to present a lot of problems for our lefty heavy lineup. So I'm going to give it to the Pirates, and I got the Red Sox winning 2-1. I am not confident in most of those predictions. It could very well be the Pirates 2-1. But officially, I'll take the Red Sox 2-1.
Jeremy, who do you got?
I have a path to win this game. You guys want to hear it?
You
don't have a choice. So you might as well shake your head. Yeah. Okay. All right. So I meant to mention this last recording, but I didn't. Martin, coming off that terrible appearance, threw an inning on Tuesday, 13 pitches. No strikeouts, no walks, no hits. Threw an inning today, one hit, no walks, one strikeout, 12 pitches. Two outings, 25 pitches, back to normal. So here's how it's going to go. Bernardino for two. Slayton, who threw today as well, two innings, one hit, no runs, no walks, 1K, 24 pitches in two innings. And Martin. So you go Bernardino for two, Slayton for two, Martin for one, and then it starts to rain. Okay. So I haven't checked the weather, but assuming they force us to play nine innings, I have the Pirates. A little bit more on Martin, and Terry's going to burn me alive if I have this wrong, but my recollection is Martin wanted to be here and they didn't even offer him a deal. Martin Perez. My recollection is he wanted to be here. I remember the Barstool guys back when Carrabas was there. They were doing the Perez Day, and he was retweeting it and taking part in it on Twitter and really having fun and engaging with the fan base. He liked it here. Shocking. This is kind of a redemption game for him. And if they do lose the first two games, you'd think he'd take the hill with that eye towards being the stopper. So I don't think the Sox are going to win this game unless that scenario plays out, which doesn't seem likely.
The rain would have to be extremely clutch for that.
Like Bernardino, two innings, two hits. Slayton, stay on course, do your thing, low pitch count, Martin. The game's like 62 minutes in, and then all of a sudden it's just like pouring buckets and there's nothing they can do to get it stopped. The field's flooded. We win 1-0. On a Durant ball in the gap that gets misplayed, so he turns it into a triple with a one base error.
For what it's worth, the Pirates did sweep us last year, and it was early in the season just like this. So take that.
The pitching's too good, I think, to get. Well, no, because of the bullpen game, it's possible. I just think the pitching's too good. The starting pitching's too good to get swept. But, again, they may not score, so it's possible.
No Devers, no O'Neill at all.
Well, Devers is going to be out tomorrow, I would think, but he's not going on the disabled list. So, maybe you see him later in the series.
Yeah, the bullpen game for me is the reason why I'm going to take Pittsburgh in the finale. I do think Martin Perez is going to do what he usually does, and he's going to baffle our lineup more than it should. This is one of those games where, you know, Yoshida's probably going to need a day off by then. So, and it's against a lefty, so he'll sit. So you'll have, like, I don't know, Connor Wong DHing or Rob Refsnyder DHing or something. So you're going to see a lineup similar to what you saw on Thursday. Like, just, you know, he's going to have like Pablo Reyes hitting third for some stupid reason. Like, this screams to me like Cora's going to overreact to a lefty that he knows him, and he's going to overreact, and he's going to put out a stupid lineup, and he's going to give guys days off for no reason. And it's just, they're not going to score enough runs. And the bullpen game kind of worked the last time. You know, Bernardino was good, Chris Well was fine, but I don't trust it. I don't trust it. So I think the Pirates will score enough runs. They'll probably win like 4-0. Because I just don't think the Red Sox offense will muster anything. So I'll take the Pirates in the finale.
Yeah, Chris Well got screwed, by the way. 4 runs, only 1 earned. So the performance is tough because you see guys crossing the plate, but like, they're unearned runs. So, yeah, I don't write Chris Well off. I think he gives you a chance to get through the lineup once.
Yeah, he wasn't the issue, but he might run into the same issue where, you know, he's pitching fine, but, you know, Pablo Reyes is throwing it into the bleachers and, you know, Willie Abreu's booting it in right field and God knows what. So just not a lot of trust in this Red Sox team. So I've got the Pirates winning the finale, and I've got them winning the series 2-1 as well. So
here's the
I'm 2-1 Sox win the series.
That's how I have it officially. Here's a Devers quote. He was asked by Christopher Smith of Mass Live if he will avoid the IL. Dever says, I don't know yet, but the thing that I don't know is, like, I don't want to be back too soon. I'm going to take my time to be ready. So it just sounds, you know, a little ominous, excuse me.
It's all going to depend on how he feels day to day. He might miss all 3 games, which, if that's the case and they just really don't want to put him on the IL, then you're down a bench spot. So once again, you're going into a series kind of under-equipped because, you know, if you're not going to put him on the IL, but he can't play the first 2 games, there you go. I mean, then you've got a short bench automatically. So just another reason why I don't feel great about this series. So with that, we will wrap things up. Keep an eye out for our Clown Takes show. That is coming out this weekend as well. So got another fun one in store for you guys. Apart from that, enjoy the weekend. Hopefully it goes better than at least I predicted. And the weekend crew will have you guys Monday morning to recap the Pirates series. So until then, everyone take care.